All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Oh, Priyanka! Oh,
I am so happy to see you!
I know, I look forward to seeing you too. I got my Omicron booster shot.
Oh, okay. How did that go?
I'm feeling a little, like I have energy to, like my brain has energy today.
Yeah.
So I can still talk fast and be like, you know, here and present. But I don't know.
The body.
Yeah, I feel like my eyes are kind of like run down.
I know. There's definitely side effects. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Can I just say also, I am loving how every time we talk, it's a new pair of glasses.
That's absolutely.
Can I just say,
absolutely
loving this look.
Thank you, because you know what? I went to the glasses place. And this woman I know runs it. So she's like, let's pick out a lot. I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. Because you get different outfits, you know,
yeah,
you can put them on.
Of course.
Of course, my outfits are always the same. It's just t-shirt and jeans.
Part of your wardrobe.
Yeah.
It is part of the look.
Yeah. It's just the only thing I can do to, you know, kind of dress it up. Because literally, it's t-shirt, jeans, or sweatpants, or shorts.
Don't forget the baseball cap.
And the baseball,
right?
Cap.
Baseball
today,
cap.
I don't have a baseball cap on. But I also want to know, because it's so funny, Scotty... I had like a little, this is so random. I had a little bottle of this like Gucci cologne that I used to wear in college. Like
oh,
I used
wow.
to get it for, I used to get it for Christmas because it was so expensive. It was like $30 a bottle. And I was like, oh my God, right? Or whatever it was. And I was like, oh my God. So my mom would like, or somebody would get it for me because it was always on my list. And so I put it on the other day and it immediately brings you back the sense of smell. So is the sense of smell most tied to memory? Than any other sense.
Actually, we're going to interview someone who has a 6th cranial nerve palsy today.
Yeah.
But cranial nerves, and I'll talk about it later, but the olfactory nerve, cranial nerve number one, is the olfactory nerve, which goes directly to your brain. So
I always think you're saying old factory, like somebody works at an old factory.
In the old factory.
Yeah, okay.
Right. But yeah, it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, it's right next to your hippocampus, which is tied to like core memories.
I applied to go to college there. I couldn't get on the hippocampus. Come on, these you're just lobbing them up. So wait, okay, so that's interesting. So you know what I did?
Yes, it's very tied to memories, yeah.
So then for Christmas, like, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, I can't remember, Scotty, I go, you know what, Scotty, I'm going to go pick out all these 80s, 90s colognes, because I used to be so into cologne. I don't wear cologne anymore. But I got like Eternity, remember that? And CK1, remember that one?
So they're still making this stuff?
Yes, well, you have to like look for it online, right? But CK1, Eternity, what was the other one? CK1, Blue Water, something like that. Herrera, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all these. What was the other one? Eternity, CK1.
What about Hugo Boss?
Obsession. Calvin Klein Obsession.
Oh,
remember
Obsession.
That?
Obsession. Oh, my
that
God. I remember the ads for those.
Yeah, they were so bizarre.
What a great marketing. So what was that like for you? So you smelled them like
yes.
you must have
and
gone
I was like,
down
oh my
memory
God.
Lane.
It was all
it
college
been a
young. Yes, it was so cool. I was like smelling all these colognes. Yeah, so occasionally I put like a dab on them. Like, oh my God, it's so wild. I totally remember like being 20 years old or something. But
oh
wait, what's
goodness.
Yours? What's your kind of scent?
I'm just thinking, I'm like, gosh, you know, when I smell cumin seeds, it reminds me of being alone in India, actually. Like, I mean, like, I know
it's like sad.
Like,
sad
no,
smells.
It's like really sad. Like, actually, it's like, yeah, when I smell like ground fennel, like, I'm just like, it goes back to the time I was like really sick, you know, as a child.
Elton John wrote a song that goes, sad smells say so much.
Anyway, oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. It was sad songs. Wait, wow, that's so cool, though,
yeah,
that you don't
I mean,
have any
smell.
Any
smells
smell.
Are definitely,
remind
I
you
mean,
of something good.
Gosh, yeah, no, like, if I smell Indian restaurant, I start crying immediately, basically. Like, I'm just
so
like,
you don't have any joyful smells in your, that,
okay,
like, remind
you, know what?
You of-
I'm, like, trying to think, like, it's funny you mentioned this. I'm actively in therapy. I'm working on experiencing joy and like tapping into joy. Yes. So I'm trying to like figure out what would be joyful. And nowadays, okay, what would be a joyful scent? Oh, I got it. Vanilla.
Yes.
Vanilla. So when I smell or taste, especially smell vanilla.
Yes.
I go back to this core memory.
Okay.
And I would eat vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
Like when I was, especially when I was in India, it was so tough. But you know, vanilla ice cream was like the one good memory.
I'm gonna eat it tonight to celebrate that.
Yes. It's like every time I smell vanilla.
Yeah.
I go to this place where I'm just like, oh my God, it's going to be okay.
Okay, so let me ask you this. This is what I heard. You tell me if it's true or not. I heard that the reason why most human beings like vanilla, the taste of vanilla, is because of mother's milk. Is that true?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, so I've never heard that.
It reminds you of being a baby, you know, suckling your mother's, you know, teat.
It actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because like I was separated from my mother at the age of one, and that was like severely traumatizing.
Wow.
And then it happened again when I was two. So I think there's probably a core memory where I'm like always yearning for what I never
got.
For
vanilla. Oh, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. I'm just getting you vanilla everything.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, vanilla cologne, vanilla ice cream, vanilla everything.
Vanilla candles? Oh my gosh. I love vanilla candles. I can just like smell the candles all day.
I love that.
I think I'm going to have something vanilla after we're done here now.
Yes, have a vanilla like pie.
Oh my gosh,
I don't know.
You know who is super sweet, like even better than vanilla?
Than vanilla, yeah.
Our guest today. Oh my gosh.
Randy Rainbow.
Randy Rainbow.
Randy Rainbow is so, talk about like non-vanilla and like exciting.
I know.
Yeah.
He is like bust a gut funny.
Oh my God.
Like
he's
like rolling
genius.
On the floor.
Yeah, and he's like exploding,
funny.
Like hilarious.
It's so good. And his new podcast is just going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I can't wait to talk to him. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But first, our caller today experienced double vision for a whole month, and she was diagnosed with something called number six, cranial nerve palsy. Can't wait to find out what that is. Let's hear more from Rhonda.
Oh,
look
God.
At her girl.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Rhonda.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to see you both.
It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you both, too.
Rhonda, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
What part of Wisconsin? North, south?
I'm actually in north of Madison, about an hour and a half. I work at the VA.
Oh, wow.
I'm from Texas, so you probably picked that up on the accent. But I've lived in Wisconsin two separate times for about 10 years total. So.
Oh, my gosh. So you work at the VA. That's incredible. So you must have so much patience to work at the VA. I mean, like, it is such a different
world. It's not
world.
The patients that test your patience.
Very good.
When I was working at the VA, they put in the orientation packet. They were like, listen, it's going to be hard here. Yeah. You need to just chill out. Like, don't get upset. Just breathe and just be nice to everyone, you know? And the people are so nice. Yeah.
I would love to try to work there. It'd probably last 20 minutes.
And the workloads are huge. The patients are wonderful. That part is really good. And, you know, it's a big bureaucracy, you know, so, but they do good work. They really do good work. And
I love that. Well, thank you for doing that. You're a saint.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Rhonda, thank you for being here. Talk us through this double vision thing that you went through. You were walking your dog or something. And
yeah, I think it was on July 8th. I was actually walking my dog out in the backyard. And all of a sudden, I felt like my balance went a little crazy. And, you know, at first, you don't really realize what's happening. And so I went back inside and I thought, well, I must be having a sinus infection or I must be, you know, getting a cold. Something was coming on, I thought. So I went inside and finished getting ready. And then I got in my car to drive to work. Fortunately, I only have a short distance to go. And at that point, when I began to look on the horizon, I realized that I couldn't see well at all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you maybe think it was an ocular migraine? I get those a lot.
I've heard of those and I've never had one, but I didn't know what to think. But I didn't realize how bad my vision was until I tried to look off, you know, in the distance. Yeah. Like
distance, right.
So I got to work, and I will tell you just as a sidebar that I survived breast cancer many years ago. It was
caught
very early, so I'm at a very
Thank
low
God.
Risk for a recurrence. But of course you think, oh no, is, you know, have I got something in my brain? Mm-hmm. So I went to work, and I work in the mental health clinic. So I went up to one of our psychiatrists and I said, you know, I'm having a weird double vision and it's really hard to see. And I said, can you kind of just look at me and tell me if anything looks weird? And he looked at me and he said, well, your left eye's kind of doing something a little bit wonky. And he said, if it's not better, you know, in a few hours, I think you better go to the ER.
So did he make you look in all different directions?
Yeah, he did do exactly like those confrontation fields or whatever.
I've been looking in every direction for years. Go ahead.
Sean is a confrontation field.
I mean, it's like...
Yeah, worked in an ER for years, so I have to pretty much be dragging a bloody stump to go to an emergency room. Uh-huh. So I wouldn't do it. So I called and started trying to make a routine appointment. And of course, I was weeks and weeks away. So when I talked to an eye clinic about 45 minutes away, they said, well, what prompted you to call? And I described what was going on. And they said, yeah, you need an emergency appointment. This is not a routine appointment. You need to come in. So like a dummy, I drove myself, which I just kept closing one eye and then the other eye because I realized I could see better that way.
And how long had this been going on? Like
what was the day?
It started that morning. Literally, it started at maybe like 7:30 in the morning and I was headed to the eye doctor probably about between noon and one. And so I got over there and then they checked me in and the appointment went on a long time. And you know, that's never a good sign. And nobody was really saying a whole lot initially. Oh, and then, you know, it seemed like they were concerned, but I just kept trying to be patient. And then she finally was ready to talk to me at the end of all the exam. And she said, one of two things I think is going on. She said, either you have an autoimmune problem called giant cell arteritis.
Okay.
Or, and then she paused and she just looked at me and she didn't say anything. And I said, or a mass? And she said, or a mass. Those are the most likely two scenarios. So then at that point, I had to get set up for an MRI and they did some blood work and all that. So they ruled out the autoimmune cause. So then I spent like 5 days thinking, you know, I have a mass in my brain and was nervous until I got the MRI. And then lo and behold, the MRI was great, but my vision was still messed up.
That's crazy.
So they diagnosed me with 6 cranial nerve palsy.
Six, like the number 6?
Number 6. 6 cranial nerve palsy. And Priyanka will be able to tell you all about it. But basically, it was either caused, they think it was a vascular ischemic event on like a microscopic level, or that it could have been an isolated idiopathic 6 cranial nerve palsy. And I wouldn't have called you had I not gotten better because I was pretty overwhelmed with it at first. At about 2.5 weeks in, I began to notice that it was improving.
Yeah.
And then it very rapidly started improving. And now, you know, here we are a couple of months in and my vision's virtually back.
And now, what if it went all the way the other way? Now you have like X-ray vision, like a superhero.
Yeah, you can see through people now.
And I had to wear a patch like a pirate for like a month.
Oh, that's fun.
And,
Halloween does itself.
So when you wore the patch, you could see fine just through whatever eye.
The quirky thing is if you close one eye, you can see monocularly, but you can't see with both eyes when this is going on because it's deprived that nerve of I guess, blood and oxygen so that the left eye wasn't working very well. But I could even see out of the left eye if I covered my right eye. Not as well as I could see out of my right eye, but my left eye would only move from the midline to the nose. It quit going over the other direction.
So Priyanka, what?
So we need to simplify this for Sean right now.
So what does 6 mean, and how does somebody get this?
So there are these nerves that go from they connect your brain to different parts of your head, your neck, your upper body, and they're called cranial nerves.
Okay.
Cranial, it comes from the Greek word cranium, which is skull. So they come from your brain to other parts of your body.
Yeah.
And there are 12 cranial nerves, and they're numbered according to their location.
Do they know they're numbered? Because I would take it really personally. like what number are you?
They do know they're numbered, and they're not happy about it.
That's what I'm saying. I'd hate to be 12.
So Rhonda is describing a sixth cranial nerve palsy. Palsy is the medical term for like a paralysis when the nerve stops working.
Wow.
And cranial nerve number six, or the sixth cranial nerve, is responsible for a specific eye movement, outward eye movement. So when you look to the side,
yeah,
that is what the sixth cranial nerve controls. It's also known as the abducens nerve or the lateral rectus nerve.
Yeah. And the paralysis is usually caused by watching some of my work, right?
I mean, yeah. Your work literally was stunning. It was right. so stunning. She lost an eye.
Blinding. It was your beauty.
There you go. She was blinded. There you go.
Look at it. I get it.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's a laundry list of things that can cause a sixth cranial nerve palsy.
Well, and then does it just fix itself? Like, how does it repair itself?
Well, it depends on the cause. I mean, it sounds like in your case, Rhonda, they're saying that there was a loss of blood supply for whatever reason. Ischemia is the medical term for when there's a loss of blood supply. So it sounds like, you know, this would be in the category of maybe like a small stroke that you recovered from.
They didn't see it like blood on my MRI 5 days later. So they said that if a blood vessel had ruptured or gotten blocked, it was a very tiny one, you know, because it didn't leave like a lot of free blood in my head.
Is it possible that you slept on your eye too hard or something like that, where you ruptured a blood vessel like that, or no?
So big things cause a sixth cranial nerve palsy.
Oh, okay.
Like trauma, like big trauma, like you get hit in the head or there's a mass. You know, this is why they were telling her like, oh, there could be a mass.
Yeah.
And then like a stroke that sort of causes that. And it sounds, Rhonda, like you were extremely, extremely lucky. I'm curious, once you were, you know, diagnosed with the palsy, did you make any lifestyle changes? Like, did you change anything about your lifestyle that you think might have played a role in the recovery?
Well, interestingly, in honesty, I probably have not, because I've been a vegetarian since I was 16.
Oh.
I had a calcium scoring a year or 2 years ago, and I had 0% plaque.
Oh, wow.
I have normal blood pressure. All my numbers are basically good, except a little bit of high cholesterol, but only mildly elevated. So they didn't really have a lot to say, you need to do this. The thing I don't do that I need to do is exercise. You know, that would for sure help.
You and me both can go to the gym together because it's hard.
We'll do it together. And other than that, I didn't have a particular lifestyle change that they were recommending for me. But I'm open to any suggestions.
Well, what's interesting is that there's actually a large subset of patients that have a similar kind of profile as yours and will present with small vessel blood changes that are in the category of stroke. And if you order insulin levels on them, even though their cholesterol is slightly high or their numbers are fine, the insulin actually is a greater predictor of whether or not there's going to be heart disease or any kind of blood vessel issue. So I'd be curious what your insulin levels were.
I'm going to make a note to have that check.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think getting that check wouldn't be a bad idea. But the bottom line, Rhonda, is like, you're better. You're recovered.
Yes.
You're doing really well. You survived. I mean, a sixth cranial nerve palsy is super scary. I mean, you only have 12 cranial nerves, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was cross-eyed looking, which also was not the way I wanted to go around working it.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
Especially
and I truly was very scared at first. I really was. Now I'm
sure.
Good, but I was very scared initially.
Well, it is. Whenever something like that is just completely, you're not, no pun intended, you're blindsided by like something
100%.
New, you know what I mean? But you know what? I'm so glad you're okay. And I knew the second you came on, I loved you because of your energy, what you do for a living. You're a caretaker. And I want to make sure somebody's in your life that takes care of you. And if not, it has to be you.
Okay. I like that. Thank
you. You have to take care of yourself. So if something bad happens like that, just go to the ER. You work there.
I know.
Get
her
done.
My doctor hammered that into me the next time. She's like, you have to go next time.
Totally. But
anyway,
thank
Rhonda,
you for coming on the show and sharing this story.
I've listened to every episode. So thank you. It was a real honor and a privilege to be with
likewise,
you.
Thank
likewise.
Thank you. The honor is ours. Thank you so much.
Okay. Much love.
My love to you. Bye, honey.
Wow, what a harrowing tale, huh, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, don't you love her? Like, I want to be friends with her.
Totally. Like, my heart got all warm and fuzzy as soon as she
I
came
know,
on.
I yeah, know. Some people that. Just have that. It's like those kind of personalities always, not always, but a lot of the time are in caregiving roles.
Yeah.
And you can just feel how loving she is.
How much love is
like,
oozing.
I was like, ooh, I want to be around that person.
Just
you know?
Eye-popping love coming yeah. out everywhere.
Eye-popping love. Nice, nice.
Sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry,
no, I'm so glad
sorry
she's okay.
Yeah, folks. I mean, we just are loving these stories so
I love
much.
Them.
So
I love them.
Please, the number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. That's 323-529-6031. Please keep sharing your stories with us.
We love it.
Talking to you.
Wonderful number read there, Priyanka. Hey, let's get to our guest. We are supported by Fight Camp. Are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness? I know I am. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers that meet you on your time. Live punch stats motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. I know someone who's used Fight Camp and they rave about it. They say how great they feel afterwards. They say how convenient it is to do it in their own home. It sounds amazing. Not only do these workouts maximize efficiency with high intensity interval training, but they're also a really good time. Before long, you'll forget you're even working out. It's true. Fight Camp comes with all the gear you need to start boxing from home, including a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and smart punch trackers. And it takes up less space than you think. If you have enough room to do a push-up, you have enough room for Fight Camp. Join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home with Fight Camp. You can get started with Fight Camp for as low as $9 a month by going to fightcamp.com/actor. Go to fightcamp.com/actor to learn more. Getting over this rainbow. Our guest today is one of my favorite people of all time. He's a comedian, a writer, a singer with 4 Emmy nominations for his hilarious Woo! YouTube series. His studio album and book are out now. He's currently on tour, and I'm saving the best for last. He has a new podcast called The Randy Rainbow Podcast. What a title. It's my friend, who I love, Randy Rainbow.
Hi, everybody. It's me.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
So nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
I'm such a huge fan of your work.
Thank you, Priyanka. Pleasure to be with you today. Sean?
Yes.
I'm sick of you already. Whatever. You know, when you get sick of seeing your idols, it's bad. It's too much.
Well, talking about sick, this is the perfect show.
I'm sick of
yes.
you. Perfect. That's
yes.
the topic. Okay.
Are those popsicles on your shirt? Is that a
yeah.
popsicle shirt?
Yeah, this will be the last wearing of the summer popsicle shirt.
So you just rolled out of bed. You rolled out of bed? That's your pajamas?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. rolled out of bed and into our podcast.
There I
yes.
am.
Randy, I love you so much. I think you're the funniest person alive. Oh my God, you make me laugh.
So now, funny. And it's like bust a gut laughing, like on the floor, like spilling your tea, like...
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
all
nauseous, diarrhea, indigestion. Can we use this as a pull quote for my poster? I get nauseous. You know, I'm sick.
Don't you love when people say that and then you're like, go, and you're tired or angry, and you're like, well, I'm not going to be funny tonight.
I know.
Guys.
Well, we talked right. about this a little bit on. Yeah, on my podcast.
On your podcast.
Yeah, because I'm like, because I said to you, sometimes you've got to live up to expectations. It's very nerve-wracking. Because then inevitably you disappoint everybody.
Isn't that true? And then you kind of reach a point where you're like, well, I'm going to disappoint 1, 10, 100, 5 million people. So I just release that anxiety.
Yeah.
And then just go. Because people are going to hate you. People aren't going to like you. You know, whatever. It's fine.
Good. Well, now I have anxiety, full anxiety.
No, great.
Sean's like, everyone's going to hate you, and that's fine, sweetheart. I'm finally getting to a place where I am, feeling more confident and comfortable. And
yeah.
I guess that comes with age. And you say, fuck it, whatever. Can I say fuck it on this?
Yeah, you can say
whatever you want here. Yeah.
Good, because I've got
It's true, though. It's true because... Yeah, it's just true. Everything you're saying is true. Now, wait, listen.
Yeah.
You kind of exploded as this unbelievable multi-hyphenate talent. Like, before all of your giant success in books and, like, touring and the internet and now podcasting. And I want to know, what was the path Randy Rainbow was on before all this? Was it to star on Broadway? Was it TV and film? What was life like before we knew you?
I was just out of control, flailing about with no direction whatsoever.
Really?
Write about, yeah, I really didn't know. I had no, I mean, thank God for YouTube. And thank
I thought
God.
You were going to say you too, which I'm like, God, we're you like too. You're and welcome.
And I opened God. For you too for the first 10 years of my career. And then I was discovered that way. No, I didn't know. I was a receptionist. I was a Hooters girl. That's chapter 8 of my book. I was just working odd jobs because, truth be told, I did somewhere inside of me think that I would move to New York and be maybe a Broadway star. That was,
yeah. mm-hmm.
I spent my childhood on stage and I wanted to do that, but I was too scared of life. I was a tiny little 22-year-old, still covered in amniotic fluid when I got here. Mm-hmm. And I was too scared to even audition for things. And so I said, let me just live in New York and see if I can become an adult. Mm-hmm. And then the internet came along and I started just putting myself
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And there's something about the privacy of creating YouTube videos or social media content in the privacy of your own home that allows you to kind of take down some of the barriers that are present in a live audience. I mean, performing in a live audience, there's a lot of energy coming at you. And when you're alone, it's just a much safer place.
That's what the secret was. Yes, it was a safe place for me to really experiment and go places that I wouldn't maybe not have been confident enough to try.
Right.
I mean, I was always on stage, as I said, as a kid, but mm-hmm. it was just I needed to be able to experiment in a safe space. And social media and the internet allowed me to do that.
And you told me in privacy that you wanted to come out on this podcast. Is that right?
Well, now I guess I have no choice but to do that. I was saving it for my podcast, you son of a bitch.
Shoot.
Sean.
I come out on every podcast appearance, by the way. I should say that. People are starting to get wise. They're like, wait, didn't he just do armchair expert?
So actually, I have a follow-up question about creating a safe space for yourself and making that content. Was there ever any barrier to actually creating the content but then releasing it on the internet to the world?
A fear of doing that, you mean?
Yeah.
No, for some reason, I never let myself go there because I think if I did, again, I'm a scaredy cat and I've had to overcome that quite a bit over the last few years, but I don't think I ever would have posted anything.
Yeah.
But there is always some voice in my head before I post any video that says, this one is not funny. No one will laugh at this. No,
wow.
I don't know what the hell you were thinking.
Right.
And you will just show this one to your mother and that's it. And then I say, shut the hell up.
Right.
And I just hit post.
Right. Isn't it incredible that inner critic, what a space it can have in our lives if we allow it. I think it's wonderful that you're able to say like, hey, inner critic, like I hear you, but please go away right now because you're not needed, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
My inner critic shows up on Rotten Tomatoes all the time. I'm like,
oh no.
I'm like, how did you get access? All right, so first of all, Randy Rainbow's your real name. People think like, oh, he made that name up, but that's your birth name.
Yeah. I would not make that shit up. It's very difficult challenge. So, that's another thing. I've been living with this sort of, you know, fear of expectation for my whole life because people know my name is Randy Rainbow and they think like this fabulous like drag queen or something is going to walk into the room and I'm like, hey.
Is there a story behind your name? Why
my parents hated me? That's the story.
Period.
That's my real name. And in chapter one of my book, which I will just plug through this whole interview.
Yes, please.
Do. I do give the if anyone's interested, I do give you a breakdown of the whole origin of the name, but it is Rainbow. You know, I say like the reason I joke that my parents hated me was because they didn't have to go for the double R alliteration. They could have named me like Sam Rainbow and maybe
like
avoided
Joel.
Some of the bullying on the playground. No, they said
when
no.
When I was in medical school, I worked with a doctor who was Dr. Sunshine, and I'm curious if are you at all related to the sunshines and the rainbows?
Well, that would just be silly. Now you're teasing me.
All right. So wait, I want to, before we get into the good stuff, the medical stuff, I just want to really quickly plug the Randy Rainbow podcast, which is so good. And you're so good at it. It seems like you were born to do it. It's a job, but I think it's a super fun job, isn't it?
It's so much fun. I'm loving it. And I'm really into the groove as I go.
Yeah, you're so good at it.
Oh, thanks, Sean. And you, of course, are my number one guest.
Yeah. Whoa, what?
Literally.
What?
You're my first guest.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Oh, my God.
Are we allowed to reveal that? We'll put that.
Yeah, we can reveal that.
And then I'll come out of the closet.
It's the first three episodes are out now. It's me, Carol Burnett, and Josh Gad. And then the fourth episode is John Cryer. It comes out tomorrow. There's musical numbers. There's celebrity interviews. It's so good. You're so good at it.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here we go. Okay. So I want to talk about airplane claustrophobia.
Yeah. Can we unpack this a little bit? Tell us what's going on.
How did
on.
It start? Like, when did it start and why did it start?
Well, I think that I've always known that I have some level of claustrophobia. I think I'm assuming that's a very common thing for most humans.
Yeah. Well, you look like you're podcasting from a closet right now, by the way.
How dare you? You know how much I pay for this fucking closet? But recently, because now I'm touring, as you mentioned, so I'm on planes a lot more than I ever have been in my entire life.
Yeah. Right.
And so I've recently sort of attached it to airplane specific claustrophobia. I think it all boils down to control, as everything does. But when I am on planes, I've sort of told myself this story that if I am able to look out a window, that I can deal with any sort of like turbulence that comes up. I have to focus on something and I have these little rituals that I have to do. But if not, I experience this kind of horrible claustrophobia. That's you know, I get panic attack-ish.
Right, right, right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is it all right if we unpack this a little bit in detail?
I wish you would, because I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, okay, let's unpack the luggage from the plane.
Oh, right. Sean.
There
so good.
We go. So do you mind describing exactly what you experience? Is it when you're on the plane and it's taking off, or is it when you just get on the plane, or what exactly are you experiencing?
It's really connected to any sort of turbulence. I'm okay with
turbulence.
Yeah, it's turbulence. Yeah. I'm okay with takeoff. And again, I've sort of been able to, I at one point was afraid of the entire experience. Now I'm okay until we're, you know, cruising and there's any kind of turbulence and I immediately catastrophize. Is that the word?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yes, I do that too.
Yeah.
When you said you experience panic attacks, do you mind sharing what exactly do you feel in your body when you say panic attacks?
Shortness of breath. My mind just goes to like black and I can't really experience what's actually going on around me.
Okay. So it sounds like you dissociate.
Yes, that's the word. Thank you. Dissociate is the word. And I've had people sit next to me who I know, you know, kind of like think I'm a weirdo because I know that most of the time no one else is experiencing this reality that I've created for myself. Yeah.
So what about like, I'm not promoting these kinds of things. I just don't know if you've tried to help with the anxiety, like or that family of drugs, you know, whatever that is.
Never, nothing. I haven't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is kind of silly, but I just have not gone there.
Well, the thing about treating phobias or panic attacks is, you know, taking medications are just sort of using band-aids to mitigate the symptoms, but the real kind of work is getting to the root cause of why this is being triggered. And so I'm curious if it's all right to ask, do you remember the very first time you experienced this?
I think it kind of started probably
right after you met me, I think.
After I met Sean, I just was terrified of everything. I didn't have it in childhood. I know that much. Okay. I didn't even think about it. And then I think part of it is my mother had a fear of flying. And I think
really?
I think I grew up hearing that. And I think I adopted it at some point as I became an adult.
And when you learned of her fear of flying, she would describe in great detail, or how did you learn that she was afraid of flying?
I would just watch her on planes. And I know that I look like she looked when I would watch her during takeoff.
That's really interesting.
Just like, you know, just white knuckling.
I'm imagining like the movie version where we start on her face and then just widen out to see you. And you're dressed and look exactly like her. You have the same dress on, the same jewelry.
That's
so
pretty accurate.
You're naming actually something that's a really helpful clue. You see, especially in the first 7 years of life, children energetically mirror their parents.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's actually a survival technique because if, let's say the parent parent is under distress, the child will sense that distress and immediately begin changing their own selves in order to accommodate the parent's distress.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that the child depends on the parent for life. And when the child sees that the parent's in distress, they know that their access to food, care, shelter is potentially threatened because the caregiver is in distress. So the child will then adapt to accommodate that.
Oh, interesting.
And mimicry is one of the sort of like classic forms that a child can use that technique to adapt. So it's very interesting that you share that you would see your mother having these sort of very stressful experiences on a plane. I'm curious if that, whether you realized it or not, caused you significant distress. And as an adaptation, you learned to basically mimic that because you didn't know what else to do, right, as a child.
What if it was just silent and Randy just left? We're like, wait, where did Randy go?
Wait, does that check
I'm
out?
I'm on a plane now, by the way.
Totally
I'm calling
wrong.
From a plane. No, I think that's totally right. And when I see my mother's face often,
yeah.
I get flashes of my mother when I just want to make sure that by the end of this call, I can blame all of this on my mother.
Yes.
Because I'm calling her next, and I just want to make sure that we're... Yep, it's still you. It's still all your guts. No. But yeah, I do... But joking aside, I do see my mother's face when I experience a lot of this anxiety.
Right.
And she, too, yeah. is a control freak, and I've inherited all of that from her.
One more quick thing. It seems like you dissociate during these sessions. So dissociation is a very specific kind of defense mechanism where essentially is the result of complete and total overwhelm on the nervous system. It's a form of escape so that we put ourselves in a safer alternate place because it's easier to be in that other realm yeah. than it is to be in the present moment where there's so much overwhelming terror.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thinking about that, I wonder about the impact that had on you growing up to be around a parent that was controlling, that did have panic attacks, and how much of that was so unbearable to tolerate as a child that as an adult now, dissociation is an adaptation to an otherwise stressful situation. It was helpful to allow you to survive.
You mean how, when I was seeing it in my mother, how much of an effect did it have on me?
My
mother didn't make it unbearable. She's very, you know, she has these issues with, I think, control issues.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she's always been very good at dealing with them. She's always, you know, been in therapy and, you know, she does use therapy and medication even for planes and things like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't in any way, I don't think that, you know, had an effect on me.
I see. Mm-hmm.
I just know that that's where it comes from. I just know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So my friend Todd, who you know, Randy,
yeah.
Who I work with, he has the same anxiety about flying, like massive anxiety. And so for his birthday one year, this is many years ago, I bought him these DVD things. They were extremely expensive. And very expensive. And it was this kind of, you know, you watch it and it teaches you how to have less anxiety about air travel and releasing the anxiety. And I don't know what's in it. I don't know who the guy is that does it, but I guess you watch these videos and it helps you release the control when you fly. And I don't know how he does it, but I don't know, something to try.
Well, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if it was using the principles of cognitive behavioral therapy, but that's
maybe
like an established type of therapy that can address specific phobias.
Yeah.
And there are certain exposure-based strategies that you can involve using CBT. I'm curious, Randy, have you ever explored any of those therapies for this?
No. You mean I tried something to help myself get over something that's negative?
Why
no, I've never done that in my life. I don't know why. That's another episode. But no, I've not tried anything, but I should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. That's great. Excellent.
The other thing is it feels so isolating because it seems like no one else is experiencing this.
Yeah.
I know, and talking about it, that other people absolutely do, but I don't.
Oh, absolutely.
I know that I just flew to LA and I'm working with a travel agent now who books all of my touring stuff and she knows mm-hmm. Randy must have a window seat. So I was booked mm-hmm. in a New York, you know, a cross-country trip in a window seat, but it turned out it was a Delta One, but it was one of those from like 1982. So it was like a Delta Half. So it was not like the real good one. And it was a misaligned window. So I was
oh,
the
no.
only schmuck who ended up with no window. And you know, they asked people, they were nice enough to ask if anyone would switch. Nobody did. Wow. But then for the entire 5.5 hour flight, I'm not kidding you, everyone in a window seat, the window was shut the entire 5.5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sitting there with a bobby pin trying to like scrape a hole in the fucking wall to see a cloud. And it just feels like I'm the only one who goes through this, but I know that's not true.
Wait, so how did you make it?
Absolutely not.
How did you make it through?
How did I do it?
Yeah, how did you make it through 5.5 hours of all that anxiety?
I just suffered through it. It was a misery.
Well, you mentioned that you have certain rituals that you do when you get on a plane. Can you share a little bit about what those rituals are?
Yeah, he draws pictures of me, and then he calls me, and then he texts.
It's all Sean related.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
It's silly little things like, I have to always listen to the same music. Like when I'm taking off, when we're landing, I have to go to like my same song.
Can you share with us what that
is? It's usually, it varies, it changes. It's usually Eric
Kate
Clapton.
Bush. Kate Bush from, what is it?
No, I said Eric Clapton. I don't know, that would be stupid.
You seem like an Eric Clapton guy.
It's usually like something classical or original Broadway, or the Broadway cast album of the revival of Promises, Promises.
Sure, of course. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Oh, man.
That'll relax anybody so much that it'll put them to sleep.
No, I love it. Are you kidding me?
You know, Randy, you're definitely not alone in this. You know, depending on the statistics, that there's between 7 to 12% of the population in adults that have phobias. So I think it's just that people don't talk about it, which is why it's so important that you're sharing this experience, because there's lots of different, you know, things that people are living with quietly. Now that, you know, things are exploding for you, you're traveling a lot more. How has it been going now that things have changed so much?
I've been getting better. Like, I feel like I'm able to talk myself into a place that I, and again, without using any sort of medication or any kind of CDs or anything, which I don't, I don't know why. I have no problem with those things, but I'm now at a place where only if it used to just be any kind of flight, which is be nerve wracking. Now I'm still just not good in turbulence.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I just want to name, it's a normal response to experience fear during turbulence. You're in a piece of metal, like thousands of feet above the air. So it's like a very normal response to experience fear during this. Yeah. I'm curious, you know, you haven't tried anything. There's this type of therapy called EMDR. It stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's really, really helpful for phobias, and it's very targeted. So it's not like you need a lot of sessions, and it can definitely move the needle on that.
EMDR.
DR. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
It can be very
effective for phobias.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Speaking of fear, let's play a game.
Okay, it's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get three questions. And if you don't know the answer, take a guess and get creative, because I do give points for creativity. Sean, you're up first. Are you ready?
Nervous, yeah.
Okay.
I need EMDR.
Okay, Jonas Salk was the first to devise and implement a safe and effective vaccine against which disease? Jonas Salk.
Jonas Salk, like that's like somebody Salk. I went to school with or something. Like, like long, long ago, you mean?
Long-ish ago. Yeah.
Okay, the first. Okay, polio.
That's correct. Yeah.
Oh, polio. That was a guess. Knew that. Total guess.
Yeah.
That's the only one I'm going to know. Ask me the same one.
That was a total guess. Okay, good. How about that? Okay. I never get anything right.
I love it. Keep going. Which famous country singer is Miley Cyrus's godmother?
What?
Famous country singer.
I'm guessing again, Dolly Parton. Who knows?
Yeah, that's correct, Sean.
Oh, my God, it is.
What is happening?
I swear to God, I'm guessing. This is crazy. Okay.
Okay, third question. In Monsters University, what was the name of the fraternity your character was in? This is pretty hard. Fraternity.
Oh, gosh. In a million years, I'm never going to get it. No idea.
Do you want to guess?
Alpha, Lambda, Chi. I don't know.
That is incorrect. The answer is Uzma Kappa.
Oh, Uzma Kappa.
Okay, 2 points for Sean. Randy, wow. Are you ready to play?
I guess.
Randy, I never usually even get one right.
I have like turbulent, like level anxiety now because I don't
oh my
like...
gosh. Like Sean is the worst at this. This is like a
well,
real
he just
aberration.
Got all those so... except the one pertaining to his own career, which was odd.
That's right, because I'm not selfish. Because I'm not selfish.
Okay, first question for Randy. An ophthalmoscope is used to examine what part of the body? Ophthalmoscope. I can spell it for you too.
Please spell it.
O P H T H A L M O S C O P E.
The eye.
That is correct.
Oh. Okay.
You use the ophthalmoscope to look. That? At the eye, specifically the back of the eye, the retina.
Is that the one with the light on it that they go look forward? Okay.
Yeah, where it you can look at the back of the eye with an ophthalmoscope.
Ooh, hurts my
okay,
penis.
There you go. Excellent job. Randy, what is the longest running musical in Broadway history?
Phantom of the Opera just announced they're closing after 35 years.
And it's closing. I want to go see it. Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. Third question. Which Colorado representative tweeted... We went from Reading Rainbow to Randy Rainbow in a few decades.
That would be my number one fan, Lauren Boebert.
Yes, that is correct, Randy. 3 for 3. You win. You're Dr. Wallace Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you, Lauren Boebert.
No more anxiety.
You're the best.
Randy, I love you. Thank you so much. Everybody, listen to the Randy Rainbow podcast. You are a dream. I love you. I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. Uh-oh. Keep working hard. Everybody loves you.
Thanks, honey. I love you too.
And thank you so much for coming on the air to talk about something that affects a lot of people and really being so open and vulnerable about it.
Well, that's so nice. I hope that I have helped people because it is a little embarrassing, but even just talking about it has made me feel better. But I'm still going to probably drink a lot.
Okay.
Fly on Friday.
All right, honey. We'll see you later.
Thank
we'll see you.
Very
soon. So nice
all
to
right.
meet you.
Bye, sweetie.
Lots of
you
love.
Too. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
What an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah,
my
he's
gosh.
The greatest. And so whip smart, fast, funny, witty. It's the best. I love him too. And how about our caller?
Rhonda, thank you so much. Sixth cranial nerve.
Sixth cranial nerve. Guys, thank you for listening. We love you. Until next time, don't worry. Be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondria Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenhovel and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.